imagine Jesus who's seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Father's seeing the mess we're in, and he goes, Jesus, you need to go down. I don't know about that. Are you kidding me? Dragging his heels. No, he came down to rescue us. It was awesome. It was glorious. Put a smile on your face. Yeah. Amen. I have asked my kids to do some things, and they were dragging their feet. I've been asked to do some things, and they're dragging my feet. But Jesus was, that is his love. This is this amazing love. And there's that scripture, that I might know the length, the breadth, the depth, the height. It just might know how big the love is. And I don't think I know it yet, but I'm on a course to know how big that love is for my life. Because it got Jesus to stand up and come down and rescue me. It's pretty cool. That's not my message. Hallelujah. That's just whatever. Amen. Well, we are starting a new series, and it's called Jesus Is. And you get to fill in the blank. Actually, I'm going to fill in the blank and give you a couple of things every week. So everybody say, Jesus Is. Okay, the blank this week is mercy. Everybody say, Jesus is mercy. Amen. So, how many of you are thankful that he is mercy? Woo! Yeah. Now, if you don't know what that means, I'm going to tell you. All right? But let me give you an example. 2 weeks ago, Sherry and I were in Lancaster. We were invited to go to the Rhema Ministers Association Northeast Regional, I don't know, whatever they call that. And we had a couple meetings, and we were driving back. Because, you know, Pastor D would rather buy shoes than stay in a hotel, so I was going to use my money for that. Sherry would rather buy shoes. No, really. So we're driving back late at night, and, of course, how many of you have driven with me? Yeah. Fast is the only one word, fast. And I really have a problem when there's just a straight road. I just think fast is the way you go. So we're driving home on Route 30, fast. Don't ask me how fast. And then how many of you know that I live in York, New Salem? So you get off that last exit and you come down to 616 South where the Sheets is and you take a left and it's fast because it's straight. And then you come to the light at York, New Salem, and then you make a right. I did stop at the light. You make a right, and the second street you make a left, and there's this car behind me. And I'm in my neighborhood, but I do know the speed limit's 25. I double-checked that. So I'm going through my neighborhood. Now, my neighborhood, from the time I make that turn to my house, is 7 houses. And this car is behind me. 7 houses, I'm going to be home. I'm actually driving the speed limit, okay? And next thing I know, lights. I have never seen so many lights on a... They have new cars with, like, more lights than they used to. And I was like, oh, darn. I did say darn, and I pull over, and I'm telling Sherry, get this stuff out of the glove compartment. God, just, I need mercy. Man, help me out. So this... I know you're not supposed to say darling, but this really darling police officer, because he's younger than I am, comes up to me and I roll down the window and I hand him this stuff and I'm like, oh gosh, my insurance is going to go up. God, I need some mercy. And he goes, ma'am, do you know that your front headlight is out? And I start laughing like that and I go, for real? For real? I got a little over the board. And I open the car door and jump out. And Sherry's going, Kah! And I'm going, and I hit the guy. I said, for real? Let me see that. Wow, I didn't know those lights burn out. By then, he's laughing at me because I'm really coming off like a ditz. Because then Sherry goes, Mom, you never get out of the car. Well, they don't know you. So, mercy. Mercy. I won't tell you about the one I was speeding and got pulled over for that one. Oh, I will tell you that because I was on my way to church. This was 2 years ago to church, and I come down Market Street and woo, pull over. And the police officer says, ma'am, do you know how fast you're going? And I wanted to say, of course I don't know how fast I'm going. But I was really good. And I said, to be really honest, I'm on my way to prayer. And I was not lying. And I said, and by the way, I just wasn't paying attention. He says, ma'am, make sure you pray for us. I said, I do. He says, I'm giving you a warning. Mercy. But I don't think I can use that every time. But I really was praying. I was in the ozones and stuff. Okay. So how many, raise your hand if you'd like to have mercy shown to you. Not just the police, I like mercy. Listen, we all like mercy, don't we? But how many of you have noticed that sometimes it's a little bit harder to show mercy to people? Okay, somebody does something wrong, and what do we say? You deserve it. All right? You deserve what you got, all right? Nobody's ever said that but me. Okay, because a lot of times it's harder to show mercy than it is to, I need mercy, okay? It is. I'll give you an example. This is Dee's laundry day, I'm telling you what, because I know you all do the same thing. So many times I come to a red light and I do stop, and there's one particular, as you go down the bridge, it's Indian Rock Dam Road there, as I'm heading to Mom and Dad's house. And so what do I do while I'm waiting? By the way, I'm the first person in line, and I'm waiting, so I get my cell phone out. And I'd like to say I press my Bible app, but, you know, I'm text messaging, and I'm checking Instagram. And, you know, all of a sudden I look up, I'm like, it's green. I'm like, so sorry. And, you know, I take off. And it wasn't but a couple, and I've kind of do that a lot, and of course there's some noises back there when I do that. So not too long ago, I'm at the red light, and there's a car in front of me. And the light turns green. And the light turns green. And the light turns green. And I'm like, you idiot, what are you doing? Come on, what are you thinking? So we all desire mercy. Sometimes we're not too good on giving mercy, right? Now, it is. Sometimes it's harder giving out mercy. But sometimes I think we think God is like that. Such as somebody, where's my Margie? Margie has the honor to be a hospice chaplain, and she comes to people on their deathbed many times. And, you know, I hear stories from Margie, and my friend Bevy used to do that. And these people, 85, 90 years old, finally meet Jesus. I'm like, shoo, baby. And then, you know, hear stories of, who was I just hearing? Somebody came in and an organization came in and painted their house. This was an elderly woman. And I'm like, wow, that's really good. That never happens to me. And you hear about someone miraculous healing, you go, wow, that's really nice, but what about me? And sometimes we think, what about me? No mercy. You know, it's okay to think you can have it, but sometimes we get this goofy thinking, mercy doesn't come our way. Wasn't there an old song, Mercy Came a Running? We sing it like in the 80s. Yeah, okay. All right. But listen, that's not, everybody say not. That's not how God is. God is not just about a little mercy. He is merciful. Jesus is not just sometimes mercy. Jesus is mercy. So everybody say that. Jesus is mercy. All right. Now, if you'd open up to John chapter 8, I'm going to read out of the New Living. Now, I have Bibles plopped all over my house, and sometimes I'll read something, and they've got million-dollar words. Every other word's a million-dollar word, and I go like this, oh, I should know what that is. So sometimes I'll grab these easy readers. Message Bible, easy reader. Because sometimes my brain's just not ready to dissect all those big words. New Living, easy reader. The Good News, right, Ruth? That the one that's Good News, easy reader. Is that a bad thing? Just read your Bible, okay? So there's a scripture later on we're going to read in Romans, and I was like, man, grab the easy reader. So today we're going to do easy reader, all right? It makes it real plain, and so you don't have to figure out all the million-dollar words. All right, so here we go. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple, and a crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. Okay? And as he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who they had caught in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. So you have a crowd, and then you have the pastors' association who grabs this lady caught in the act, and they put her out in front, all right? Now, how many of you have ever been caught for doing something wrong? Anybody ever been caught? Okay. How many of you have felt a little embarrassed by it? All right. And sometimes it's just embarrassing and degrading to get caught. Not like the policeman, you know, I'm getting good at that one. But can you imagine how this woman felt? Can you imagine? She gets thrown and thrown in the middle of this crowd, caught in adultery, in the act. Now, I have two questions, side rabbit trail. Where's the guy? It takes two to do this, right? And, okay, just, what the heck are you pastors association doing watching? Okay, so that's just a side, just a little float your boat here. All right, so she's caught in the act. Now, let's pick up at verse 4. So they put her in front of the crowd, and they say, "Teacher," they say to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law," underline that, "of Moses says to stone her for what she has done. What do you say?" And they were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and started writing on the dust with his finger. And they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and he said, "All right, stone her, but let those who have never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Okay, this is this lady that's thrown in this crowd, and they're going to crucify her, basically, right? And Jesus says, "Which one of you has never sinned?" All right. Now, probably about there, that says the oldest one, from the oldest to the youngest, starts departing, right? They move out. Did I read the last part? No, I didn't. Okay. Verse 9. "And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman." All right. So they all take off, and there she is, all by herself. The Pastors Association, gone. And it's just her and Jesus. Now that's, I'm going to talk about mercy, but that also spoke to me that Jesus never will leave you. When everybody else, the crowd, ditches out on your life, all right? And when you are all alone, I want to tell you something. Jesus will still be standing there. And there are times in my life that I ditched on Jesus. Not proud to say. I was actually a Christian. No, that's not counting the days I was a Christian. Wasn't. I ditched on Jesus. And then one day I thought, man, he's never ditched on me. Isn't that wonderful? That's mercy. That's just part of it. So I'm going to read back again. Thank you. Man, just, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you have stood with us. You've never left us. And maybe we've done the incredible, but you're always there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So he stooped down again and he wrote in the dust. And when the accusers had heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle with the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up, ta-da, and he said, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" And she answered, "No, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Now, usually we get stuck on the second part, but the emphasis is really on the first part. Neither do I. Neither do I. But we kind of get stuck. We get a little religious. And I'll tell you, after I got saved, I had everybody tell me all about what sin was and sin wasn't. kind of knew what it was, really. But they tell me, you can't listen to this. You can't go to that. Don't you dare wear that. Stop saying this. And tattoos, you can't get those. I was sort of one of those. Okay. That I thought that. Okay. But you know what? That's not sin. And that's not what Jesus focuses on. He doesn't focus on that. Does he focus on that? No, he says, I don't condemn you. That's what mercy does. Now, aren't you glad that he didn't condemn you? Man, I wouldn't be here. All right. Now, listen, the interesting thing is this lady committed an adultery. Guess what that's called? Sin. All right? That is sin. You know, don't go see this. Don't go say that. Don't get a tattoo. But this we would call sin, right? Huh? Uh-huh. Okay. And yet Jesus says, I don't condemn you. I don't judge you. That's mercy. That's mercy. Matter of fact, he's saying, I'm not going to hold this against you. Wow. All right. I'm telling you guys, it's really time that we, the church, do what Jesus said. Stop condemning people. All right. Most of us know when we do boo-boos, mess ups, right? Especially if you've been born again and you've got the Holy Spirit living in you. Man, even while it's in my head before it gets in my mouth, he's going, don't say that, don't say that. Okay, I know. Okay, and for someone who doesn't know Jesus, if you corner them, get them really good and still, they know, right? All right, so mercy. Everybody say mercy. Mercy. Jesus is mercy. You just saw that. That's what it was, Jesus' mercy. Now, I want to tell you a story. Years ago, we had I'd probably been born again 2 years. About a couple of months into it, someone said, you need a Bible. I was like, really? And then I started reading a Bible. Then I get run to the Cashmans, marry one of those Cashmans. We go up to Penn State, and then we decide, Jack decided, not me, was going to Bible school, but I was with him, so I went. And we went to this amazing church, Faith Christian Fellowship. And it was a Sunday. We got kind of crazy, radical. We went to every time the door was open, we went to church. Sunday night. Of course, we didn't have a TV, so that was pretty easy to figure out back then. We didn't have a TV until after Sherry's born. She was like 3. But anyway, so it's Sunday night. We're going to church. Pastor Larry's preaching, and he asked if anybody wanted prayer for a specific thing. And Jack, the good husband, was just pushing me up. Next to him, up there, and he's up there next to me, and the pastor Larry starts praying for us. Now, first off, this is the tail end of the 70s, and I have worn my best outfit. By the way, I didn't own a dress or a skirt back then. I wore my cream-colored hip-hugger bell-bottom pants. And I wore a midriff shirt. Now, if you don't know that word, that meant this part and this part barely met. Okay? It was my best outfit. So I'm wearing this and I'm in the line. Next thing I know, boom, I'm on the floor. And by the way, by about then, there's a lot of skin showing. But God started speaking to me. When I was down on the floor, actually, the pastor had given me a special message just for me, and it was like lightning bolts. It meant so much to me. To the rest of you, it wouldn't have meant anything. And this is how it goes. I still remember it. I've been after you like a dog to a bone. I said, the guy's from Arkansas, and I have found you, and da-da-da-da. I'm going to tell you the rest because it was really for me. But it was God talking to me, and I'm on the ground, up to here like this. And some nice lady came over with one of those cloths and covered me up, and so I finally got up. But can you imagine if Sister So Perfect came up to me and said, girl, that's disgusting. You've got skin showing. You need to go home and change your clothes. How dare you come into this place? How dare you condemn me? You know, it didn't take but a couple of weeks to realize I was going to change my wardrobe without Sister Perfect telling me. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Jesus said, can you imagine him going, wait a minute. I can't talk to you down on the ground. You've got skin showing. That's obscene. I'm just going to step over you, go to the next person till you get it cleaned up. Now look at this. We cleaned up, okay? Still working on making sure . Such a pain on Sunday morning. It really is. How many of you know for personally and know somebody that when they're down in the pit and their face is in the mud, they don't need you rubbing their face in it, do they? Mercy! Don't condemn them. Give them mercy. Give them mercy and help them up. Help them get cleaned up. Help them stand next to them. That's Jesus. Jesus is mercy. Jesus is mercy. So I'm going to give you four little points. This is nothing terrific. But, you know, it's really interesting. Have you ever found, been at the beach and you found some sea glass? You know what sea glass is? It's a piece of glass that's been rubbed and rubbed and rubbed. It's so pretty. All right? It's just a little something. But man, it's just like, oh, look, I found sea glass. Or you're sitting on the grass, especially at my house, it's mostly clover. It's all green. And you look down and you find a little bitty four-leaf clover. Doesn't that just go, oh, look what I found. Listen, this is simple. But if you get it, whoo, it'll help your life. And sometimes I find the big woo. Did you hear the woo? It goes in one ear and out the other. And it's because I need to hold on to these things. These are foundationals. Jesus is mercy. Okay? So, one, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you four points that have to do with the scriptures. And, you know, when I say take notes, it's because it helps you remember. All right? It helps you remember. Not because, you know, just do it, okay? Just do it. It helps you remember. You need help. I need help. All right. So, four simple things that we're going to find out as we read. Number one, write this down. Carol's going to pop them up. The law. The law demands from us to pay for our sins and mistakes. The law demands us to be perfect, to have perfect obedience. Okay, so what is the law? In case you forgot. The law is everything that the Old Testament was. The law was everything that you'll find in the Old Testament. And the law was there for a reason, though. The law was there for a reason to show you that you messed up and you need a Savior. Okay, so it's there for a reason, right? And it demands you to be perfect. Okay? Now, how many of you in this room are perfect? Raise your hand. No. Get your hand down. All right. Nobody's in this room is perfect, except for if you're going to get real religious on me, the blood of Jesus has washed me from all sins. And then, okay. But, you know, just generally speaking, just ask your spouse if you're perfect. They're going to go, no way, no way. And listen, I have breaking news for you. Newsflash. I am not perfect. I make mistakes. I sin. Though, when I have people come to my office or call me up and, you know, do the counseling or whatever you want to call it, you know what I do? Even though I am not perfect, I tell them about the perfect one. I point them to Jesus. All right? Isn't that wonderful? All right. Now, the law demanded all this stuff, that you be perfect. And I'm not, and you're not. All right? Now, Jesus, Jesus said this, I have come to fulfill the law. Now, wait a minute. We said the law demanded you be perfect. The law demanded that you pay for your sins. Okay, then Jesus shows up on the scene. I've come to fulfill it. Okay, now why did he say that? Because you can't be perfect, right? No hands went up. You can't be perfect. Can't be perfect. All right, now. Jesus, I think it's in Matthew 5, says, I have come to fulfill the law. And you know what he was saying? I didn't come to put down the law. I didn't come to change the law. I simply came to fulfill the law. He didn't knock it, but he said, I'm like, ta-da, I'm better, all right? I have come to fulfill the law. Now, why did he come to fulfill it? Because you can't be perfect. All right, and you know, people go, what is Christianity? This is really the simplicity of Christianity. Jesus came to fulfill the law because I couldn't. I can't. Everybody say, I can't. I can't. All right? I can't pay for my salvation. I can't earn my salvation. I can't be good all the time. I can't. Everybody say, I can't. And the thing is, he can. I can't. He can. Matter of fact, he did. All right. Say now mercy. That's what mercy was. That's what mercy is. All right. Man, I can't. Oh my gosh, I won't tell you. Okay. Now, if you're here today and you would say, Pastor D, I know I can't, but give me a few minutes. Give me a couple of years. Give me till next year and I'll get good. Okay, I'll get my act together. Guess what? You can't. So, I've heard this a dozen times. I got to get myself together before I come to Jesus. You can't. What a waste. You can't. That's mercy. Hallelujah. Now, you can't earn it. There's nothing you can do it. But Jesus has paid the debt for you. All you have to do is say, I'll take what you did. I'll take what you did for my life. All right? So, number one, we can't fulfill the law. Number two, Carol, put that up. The second thing, Jesus asked a question. He said, who of you has never sinned? You throw the first stone. So, has anybody here never sinned? Or you're so close. Anybody close to never sinning? Maybe even getting through today? No, you can't, right? Because what's Romans 3:23? For all, raise your hand if you're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord. So I'm an all. So if you think you cannot sin, you know, live a perfect life, that's your scripture. And you know what the Lord said to me? He says, now take a big tape measure, and that chair over there is the glory of the Lord. So I think I can get there. And I put down my tape measure here and I walk it. And I find out I fall short of the glory of the Lord. And I go, wait, I'll do it again tomorrow. I'll start all over. And I get my tape measure because I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good to people. I'm going to watch my mouth. So I start this and I measure it and I get 3/4 short, 3/4 inch short. Guess what? All have sinned and fallen short. I'm an all. Are you an all? You're an all. All right, now, the problem is usually what we do is we pound people about their sin. We pound people about their sin. We beat them up. Turn or burn. How many of you know the goodness of God leads to repentance? People know they're bad. Okay, that didn't. Now, occasionally, that works. But that didn't work with me. I needed love. By the time I met Jesus, I was one hurting puppy. I didn't need my face rubbed in the mud. I needed someone to say, I'm going to love you forever. All right? Now, so the Bible says the goodness of God, right? And the thing is, he absolutely always loves you because God is mercy. God is merciful and he's mercy. Now, what happens if you messed up 25 times today, 100 times today? God loves you and he is merciful. God loves you and he is merciful because he is a God of mercy. Ta-da! Now, again, who here has ever sinned? All have sinned and fallen short. Now, let's just pretend, back to the lady in the crowd and the Pastors Association. I'm a member of the Pastors Association, so I have come with my rock. All right? I'm ready. Matter of fact, I've been in the Pastors Association for such a long time. I've got a pile of rocks because I'm a bad aim. I'm ready. All right? And Jesus says, what did he say? Who here has never sinned? Right? I have sinned. D. Cashman has sinned. But mercy came running to me. Oh my gosh. Sometimes we start rating sins like we rate a movie. R, G, GP, And we rate sins, a little sin, ooh, the gigantic, big, bad, and dirty sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the day I figured that out was the best day of my life. I was just tired because sin, carrying that, just kind of weighs you down. And his mercy came running after me. Anybody have that mercy come after you? Amen. Okay, so Jesus died for all, and he covered all sin. He does not rate sin. Dumb. Rate sin. All right, number three. I have to get it together. Jesus offers forgiveness to this lady, something she wasn't expecting. Forgiveness is usually the last thing we're expecting. When you've really blown it, sometimes you think you don't qualify for it. I'm such a slime ball. I've done it a zillion times. How could you forgive me? I've done things a zillion times. Anybody do some things messed up, sin, about a zillion times? So the thing we usually least expect is the one thing we mostly need. And Jesus came running, and he is mercy all the time, right? Now, some of you are sitting here thinking, mercy, forgiveness, okay, all right, I get it, okay. I desire mercy, uh-huh. And matter of fact, a lot of times we'll say, you'll do something, especially to your spouse, could you just find in your heart one more time to forgive me, please? Please? I know you called me up with four kids screaming at home, and I said I'd pick up the milk, and I had a brain burp, and I show up. Could you just forgive me one more time? Anybody ever done that? Yep. All right. Or maybe you're here, and you're thinking, someone, I'm going to move this rock so I don't trip over the rock. Okay, because I've tripped over this thing. Okay, someone, how about someone who's done something to you more than once, maybe a couple of times, and Jesus says, I forgive you. I am not God. Do you know how many times they've done that? You don't know what they've done. I'm not. Okay, Jesus had this conversation too with his disciples. They come running up to him one day, and they go, how many times should we forgive somebody in one day? And what did he say? 7 times 70. If you're rusty on your math and you got to get it out, it's 470 times a day. 490, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Numbers, hallelujah. Okay, now, 490 times a day, and if you sleep 7 or 8 hours, somebody did this for me, so I didn't figure it out because you know what I do with numbers. That's about, roughly about every 2 minutes you have to forgive somebody in one day. And if God will tell you, I want you to forgive somebody roughly every 2 minutes a day, and then you mess up, and he goes, sorry, done. Do you think that's the way he is with you? If he goes and tells you to forgive her, forgive all of that, and then you mess up, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm all out, done. I'm done with you. He knows, because Jesus is mercy. And we have a merciful God. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. Wonderful, because when I do something a zillion times, it is wonderful, right? So even if you mess up 1,000 times in one day, what's he going to do? Dish out mercy to you. Dish out mercy to you. Amen? Turn over to Acts chapter 13. This one's going to be out of the Amplified because I like my Amplified here. Acts chapter 13. Verse 38 and 39. So let it be clearly known and understood by you, brethren. I'm a brethren. Anybody a brethren? That through this man, Jesus, forgiveness and removal of sins is now proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes, who acknowledges Jesus as Savior and devotes himself to him is absolved, cleared, freed. Say that again. Absolved, cleared, freed from every charge, from every sin, from every mess up from which he could not be justified and freed by the law of Moses. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Now, when you accept Jesus Christ, everything is cleared. Everything's cleared, absolved. Everything your past, everything today, and even tomorrow. That's the mercy. That's a merciful God. All right, isn't that wonderful? Billy Graham said, man has two great spiritual needs. First is forgiveness, and the other is goodness. So what happens if Jesus is trying to reach out to you today with his mercy, his forgiveness? All right? Listen, you could be a Christian. You could be a Christian, and he's still reaching out his mercy for you. All right? Some people live the most condemned life, and you need mercy. Okay, number four. I got to get my point number four. Last one. Will you receive mercy? I thought we should end with that. Will you receive mercy? All right. Again, if you're a Christian, how many of you still need mercy in your life? If you're not a Christian, you need mercy in your life, right? Mercy, 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 mercy. Definition of mercy is when you don't get what we deserve. When you don't get what you deserve. Mercy, withhold punishment. All of us deserved punishment, right? And Jesus, if he's talking to you, he's going, listen, I've withheld your punishment for me and for you. That's Jesus. So Jesus is? And the Father is merciful. Amen. So merciful that he sent his Son to be mercy. All right, not dragging his heels. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you that Jesus is mercy. And I really pray, Holy Spirit, that you just burn in our hearts that Jesus is mercy. And you burn in our hearts, Holy Spirit, that the Father is a merciful God. He's a merciful God. He's a merciful God. And there's no one that's gone too far that you can't walk into his mercy. You can't receive his mercy. There's no one here today that the Father does not want to give you mercy. How many of you would raise your hand and say, man, I want your mercy. Father, I want your mercy. I receive your mercy. I receive your mercy in my life for, you know, banging my horn and telling everybody they're an idiot. You know, that's not good. So, Father, and there's a whole lot of other things, but, Lord, you see the hands here, and we thank you that we receive mercy. We receive mercy. And if you're here today, there's a merciful God. He came looking for you, and he sent his Son who would leave heaven. He'd leave heaven and come to this earth and pay a debt you could not pay because all of us were sinners. He said, I am sending my Son Jesus to pay a debt you cannot pay. And today's a good day to say, Father, I'm a sinner. I receive my debt paid and I ask you to be Lord of my life. So let's just pray that if there's someone here. Let's do a little repeat after me. You're such good students here, right? How about we do that? Everyone, let's say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And he paid a price for me. He paid my debt for my sin. And I ask you to come into my life and be Lord of my life. And I'm your child now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Man, best day of my life was the day I found out I needed mercy. And today and every day, I'm probably going to need the mercy card. Anybody? All right. So you guys are blessed because mercy covers you. Amen? Amen. Hey, go show yourself friendly. Put smiles on. You can invite them out to dinner. Get their cell phone. Invite them over to your house, you know? All right. Just don't talk to your spouse. Talk to everybody, all right? Love you. Have a great, great day.